Thank you. All right, 5:13 here on Sports Radio 96.7. 1310 The Ticket.
Is it FM?
Yeah, we're on FM.
Oh, okay, you just said 96.7.
I was told
that. Specify.
I was told that you don't need to anymore, that kids
what about
these
the
days
point?
Are super... No,
wow.
They can figure that out, too. They're not going to 967.
But why does it matter? You're already there. I'm listening.
Again,
don't
I can't answer
that.
Any of these things. That voice you hear is the great Dan McDowell.
So you're saying it's like giving directions to a place you've already arrived at.
And you're resetting that over and over.
Yeah.
Don't forget, you're
right.
Here.
Right. Dan, thank you for joining us. You said that if...
Thanks for having me. Really easy to park and get in here.
Right there's next
no,
to...
No problem at all.
Famous Grapevine Lake, Dan.
Yeah, this is...
Did you hear us reference that earlier with the...
The old lady.
The site of the cannonball firing of the corpse of Manny, I believe. Was it not?
That's the respect he pays for pets. That's a non-pet owner right there who would say that.
It really is.
I'm sorry. It just felt like the only way to honor Manny.
Fire a cat corpse over a lake.
As a girl dad, I'm upset about that. By the way, I saw the... So I never watched that Antiques Roadshow. I heard Danny be like, oh, yeah, that's great. What are you, a 60-year-old lady? Because my mom, there's Freudian, my wife... has turned into, or is turning into my mom, because she loves that show. But I'm walking through the living room the other day, and I did stop to go, oh, it's the Ark of the Covenant.
Are you serious?
That's the, and I sat and watched that whole thing, and yeah, he got like $200,000 for it, or they value it. They don't give him money right there.
Right. So you recognize the Ark of the Covenant.
That's what caused me to stop, yeah. Because I didn't... don't open it!
Yeah.
I was trying to yell at the TV.
Hey, are there any Nazis around?
So I closed my eyes and held on tightly to the pole. But yeah, I was watching that episode.
It's a transmitter for talking to God.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned Nazis, Dan, because...
I really didn't.
We had you watch Jojo Rabbit, and you said that you would review it in person if we could find a remote that was close to your house. We set this remote
here
up.
Here we are. I live very near Lake Grapevine.
Yeah,
it's
close
beautiful
to your house.
Out here.
Grapevine Lake, Lake Grapevine.
Now,
I should know what it's called if I live there.
Why did we get Dan to review Jojo Rabbit? Well, he has positioned himself as our leader on all things Hitler.
Our World War II historian is probably the softest way to put it, but yeah.
Okay, this is unfair.
There are Hitler historians.
Let's just be honest. We all watched this movie, and we all thought about the same person.
100%.
And
that's sad.
It's not totally without merit.
Although maybe it's better than having Dave Lane's legacy. We were talking about Davies. Whether it's the strip club walking home or...
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of...
The running out of gas.
I might rather... I'm just a historian.
Yeah,
who's,
that's it.
A lot of people are fascinated with World War
II. You're not associated with an awful case of hemorrhoids.
Yeah, it's not anything I did.
No.
Okay, so our thought is this could very well have been the best movie made last year, at least of the Oscar candidates. It's my favorite.
Oh, really?
Yes, and... And I say that because of the weird relationship I had with the movie, in that it all starts with when you're pitched to watch movies, often some of us will go watch the trailer. Now, you might be against that because sometimes you don't like to know anything about stuff, and maybe,
right,
that would be maybe that would be a spoiler. You don't like coming up next week on The Shield. I kind of do like the trailer, and this trailer turned me completely off to this movie. Thinking, this is not a movie I would be interested in.
The trailer looked like a bit.
Right.
Like, what are they trying to sell us here? Because the trailer is this little boy in Nazi Germany in the middle of the woods going through Hitler Youth training. And while he's going through training, he's sitting there hanging out with Hitler, who's funny and hip and...
Like a Mr. Rogers version of Hitler.
Right. And I'm like, what? This is so, like, it was awkward in the movie theater.
Yes.
When I saw it, I'm like, what is happening?
This was made by a mental patient.
100%.
Yes.
Little did we know that it was made by Taika Waititi, who is Jewish himself and like Polynesian.
Yes.
And not
only do you have to be Jewish to say
it
helps.
I think so. I think it did.
It helps.
It's a weird thing, but if you're going to play Hitler in a movie and make it sort of comical, it should probably be.
He actually played Hitler?
He was Hitler.
He's Hitler.
That's
him.
And he's the guy who made.
Yes.
Yes.
He
directed
everything.
The director and the star of the show.
Like Stallone with Rocky.
Sure.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
Except that he could act.
It's so weird, though. Okay, so to set this up. Yeah, sorry, bud. To set this up, it is set at the end of World War II, and Germany's about to lose the war, but this little boy who has been raised as this propaganda machine for Nazi Germany, he is ready. He thinks he is of age and ready to help his country fight and win the war against the evil Americans and whoever else is part of the Allies. And he's also a 10-year-old that's been brainwashed to think what Jewish people are like.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
So if you were growing up in Germany...
Yes.
Yeah.
If you're a 10-year-old, like, we thought everything...
10-year-old at the end of the war, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything you've learned in school is all Nazi propaganda-driven.
Yes, 100%. like you're raised in a cowboy household that Tony Romo is the greatest quarterback of all time, and you're just going on what your parents have said, and there's no internet to influence you. What would it be like if your Dallas Cowboys that you were raised in that house were the Nazis? And I think that's the premise of Hitler Youth. So as goofy a premise as it is to us, looking back, I would also say there were a lot of dudes that were raised and they were 10 years old in 1944 or whatever.
So this little boy has got this image of what every Jewish person is like, man, woman, child. And so in his...
Did they eat their children? They have
absolutely.
Horns.
They have
Where's
horns.
Their horns?
They hang like bats
to
from the
sleep.
Ceiling where
yeah.
they sleep. Yeah, all this.
They have tails.
Yeah, just a lot of real evil stuff.
It's all the stuff that Borat stole to create his
exactly.
Pretty
on.
Much.
And later he was describing Russia as that, too.
Right.
So apparently they just kind of describe their enemies as...
Yes. Of course.
So this boy,
like every culture that's ever lived, right? They describe their enemies the, like horrible
versions of them. Because you need to dehumanize your enemy to make it easy to shoot them and kill them.
Absolutely.
Like many many boys that age, they have imaginary friends. His imaginary friend in this movie is Hitler.
Or what he
perceives
right,
Hitler
what his
to be.
Perception because...
He thinks that he's the greatest guy ever.
Well, and that when Hitler would leave him, he'd be like, I got to go home. We're having unicorn tonight.
Exactly.
So,
well, let me play.
So it's clearly all just, it's his mind's view of Hitler. So when you're watching that trailer, you don't know this is.
You have no
this
idea.
This is all from the mind of a 10-year-old boy.
Right.
Correct.
And his vision of Hitler. So there is a, the movie's based around this family that JoJo is a part of, this 10-year-old boy, and his mother is hiding a little Jewish girl in the attic. So she's not taken and sent to a concentration camp. Well, JoJo finds her, and they become acquaintances, if you will. But he, at the very beginning, he completely fears her. He can't believe this. He can't believe what's happening. And so in his mind, after he finds her, he runs into his bedroom, and he's trying to figure out what's going on, and there's his imaginary friend, Hitler. And so this is the conversation that they had together.
She's pretty rude, you know. That's just my two pfennig. And now she's got two lives.
I know.
How are you going to chop up stuff?
I don't know.
Oh, and she's still up there, too. That thing, that...
Jew.
Yeah, Jew, yeah. Well, what are we going to do about that Jew?
You think of something.
Huh, now I'm the expert.
Stop offering me damn cigarettes. I'm 10.
All right, sorry, I'm stressed out. Okay, let's talk like turkeys. I can't tell your mother or that Jew will cut off your Nazi head. But there's no reason this thing in the attic needs to ruin your life. In fact, you could use it to your advantage.
How?
When someone tries to use mind powers on me, you know what I do? Use mind powers back on them. Remember last year when that one-armed pirate von Stauffenberg tried to blow me up with a table bomb?
Yeah, you survived.
Correctamundo. But the only reason I survived, apart from having bomb-proof legs, is because I outwitted old von Stauffi. I let him think that I was dead when in actual fact I was absolutely fine. By pretending I was dead, I drew out all the traitors. So what are you going to do?
Pretend I'm dead?
Exactly. Wait, no. No, what I mean is this. Make her feel safe, and then she'll drop her guard, and then you will be the one in control.
Reverse psychology.
Don't complicate things. Just use my backwards mind power trick, and everything will be fine. Ooh, I gotta go. We're having unicorn for dinner at my place tonight.
Ah, there it is.
Concentrate, Jojo. Remember, a Jew living in your wall is better than two Jews flying around with their bat wings, climbing down chimneys, and eating innocent Nazis. And don't give her any more knives. Juicy.
And there he goes, flying out.
Innocent Nazis.
Yeah.
So, speaking of preconceived notions that you had going in or whatever, what did you tell me? Who's the filmmaker who made Tenenbaums?
Wes Anderson.
How Wes Anderson is this?
So I was trying to decide. So Bob said, I heard you say that, or somebody said, it reminds me so much of a Wes Anderson's film. So I was watching. That's all that's in my head in the beginning, and it really is blatant. But I was like, is that only? Am I only thinking this because Bob already planted that in my head? And my little my woke daughter, who's into Wes Anderson films, walked through the room as I was watching this movie and is like, oh, another Wes Anderson movie? You know, she thought it was Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
Like, it's so weirdly similar.
Always, yeah, there's always a little kid in it.
Not, yeah, it's almost like not a nod to him. It's like taking his exact style.
The main difference is it's better than anything Wes has done since Tenenbaums.
I think that's right.
It's way different. So you're kind of even in it for a while thinking, oh, this is a fun comedy with Hitler musical type thing. Okay,
yeah.
Right?
It's
goofy, fun Hitler, and then
it gets dark.
Then
boy, there's
happen.
Some striking.
Oh, it gets tense and dark and all of that.
Can we spoil it at all?
No, you've
already spoiled a ton of it.
Did we? By saying,
go ahead, yeah.
I mean, his mom. That's
Scarlett Johansson.
That's the thing. That scene is. Oh, whoa! I'm not in the movie I thought I was in.
I know.
And that's what I love about this movie is
it takes you everywhere.
It takes you on all this stuff. Like it's
all lighthearted and goofy and
it's
fun.
Hard to, like,
but for a long time, it doesn't tell you that it's dark.
No, and somebody
it took over an hour to slap me in the face.
Somebody actually cornered me.
Whoa, dude! I thought this was a comedy.
And they're like.
Like, it was a comedy until then.
Like, they felt weird watching this movie. And so did I. So, I just want to say I love this movie because it does all those things. And at the end, man, it had me in tears. And probably because I'm a sap. But that last scene is amazing to me. And it actually did trigger tears.
Were they dancing?
Yeah. I love that. And so I wanted to know if you were into this movie. That's
oh yeah, man! It's a thinker too. So I watched it yesterday afternoon and just can't because I wasn't sure what I thought. I'm trying to analyze it throughout because I'm not watching it regular. I know we're going to review it tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of taking a note here or there, or trying to think what do I think of this movie as it's going on. And about halfway through, I'm thinking, I can't believe this is really Oscar nominated. Seriously, I'm like, it's interesting, good, but it seems so cliche. Obviously, he's going to strike up a friendship with the Jewish girl, and obviously he's going to see that she's more and she's human. And, we've seen this million. I don't know if we've seen it a million times, but you know what I mean. It's just too obvious.
And then.
And then, it strikes you really hard. And then it's kind of like I'm analyzing it as, so what I've been watching is things through this. How does this boy cope with living in this time where seeing bodies hanging is not an odd thing, or
it's just
seeing someone shot.
If that's the only life you know.
Yeah, it's not odd, and you're 10, so
you've been raised in World War II.
Your memory starts when about 4, and so his whole memory is based on Nazis, like propaganda.
And it's not weird to him that his friend Yorkie.
Oh, I love Yorkie.
Oh, Yorkie's
a little fat kid.
Yeah, I didn't want him to die.
Yorkie's the best, and they hand him a gun, and he's a soldier at like 10.
He shoots a RPG through like a cafe accident.
Is there some realism in the end, were there old ladies and old men and little kids?
I think so. I think it was whoever and
just
whatever
being
they
handed
had.
Guns to go fight these people who are in your.
And as I understand, it's based on a book that is serious, that doesn't have an imaginary friend as Adolf Hitler, and he adapted it, and the author was fine because she knew his work and how he does things. But I guess the book goes on with what becomes of the girl and maybe the boy or something like that, and just what life was like for a German after the Nazis were beaten.
Dude, how great was Sam Rockwell and Rebel Wilson? So they were the two, you know.
You see the one with the big feather on the cap?
Yes.
At the, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he was fantastic.
And Rebel Wilson, the big, large woman, the nurse, whatever she was.
Awesome.
But
yeah.
When they were in the camp and everything, it was just way too Wes Anderson.
Right.
Oh, yeah. It was
almost like his last movie. What was his last movie?
Firing at his gun.
The one with the kids.
The Boy Scouts.
Moonlight Kingdom.
Yeah.
Moonrise, the one that Donovan hated.
Moonrise Kingdom, yeah.
Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah.
It was starkly like that. So halfway through, I'm like, I don't know, guys. You guys are overrating this. But, yeah,
it's a good cast, too. Stephen Merchant's good.
You know what else?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yes.
From
one other
Ricky
thing.
Gervais.
That is what he looks like, by the way, the director, Hitler, in real life.
Oh, wow.
How crazy is that?
There's a director's commentary,
did he white skin himself up?
Yeah, he did.
Director's commentary, by the way.
Really?
Oh, really? Where?
I had to buy it to watch it. I had to pay the $20 version, but now I have all the
options.
You couldn't
rent it on iTunes?
It wasn't available yet because I wanted to do it before the Oscars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All
right. Anyway, I'm happy you like it.
Well, Dan, thank you.
Yeah, it was very good.
You hang around and talk a little NFL?
Will you let me?
You got to get out of here.
I don't got anything.
We're right in the middle of PM Power Hour, so things keep going. Lots and lots of content.
The PM Power Hour, wow.
3 minutes, we're back next.